So have a little bit of patience. It's my first presentation, so I hope I'm not going to die right here. If you don't understand something I'm saying, mispronunciation or anything like that, just please raise your hand, run away, whatever. So let's start with this. What this talk is about. It is about quality assurance. I hope you know it. It is about why we need to use VMware to our daily testing process, the problems we found with our particular product, which problems we found. Did you hear me right? The problems we found, the solutions we tried, everything is working right now. It's not the best thing we came up, but it is useful for us. This is not a commercial talk. I'm going to speak a little bit about the product we do, just because you can understand why we have the problems we found. So far, so good. Okay. So the application is called Core Impact. It is a penetration testing tool. It is basically used to attack targets looking for vulnerabilities. And when you find one, you just exploit it and keep going. We have a lot of target systems supported. These ones, Windows, Linux. The exploit allows an attacker to take control of a system. It's basically a white hat hacking tool, something like that, a hacking tool. Our users are mainly from IT and consulting firms, something like that. When you successfully exploit one target, you can use it as a stepping stone for further attack another one. That's basically the application. It's more complex. Marketing will hate me for saying this, but anyway. Which is an exploit? For those of you who don't know, an exploit is basically a piece of code you inject in the target application, maybe the operating system, some device driver, anything which has a vulnerability. You insert that code, and if you successfully insert that code, you make the original software to behave differently. You make it do what you want to do. So, because you are making it work not in the intended way, it is prone to functionality, it is prone to have problems, reliability, crashing, performance, any kind of problem you can find. It could be there. So what we do at QA is to perform lots of testing to make sure that we are not breaking a running software, a running application, without you knowing it. We tell you, this exploit may render this target system unusable. It's up to you to test it, to use it or not, but at least we don't say this is okay, and it's going to crash your system. It's okay. So we need to make lots of tests. Okay. 3 years ago, we were doing only manual testing. Each exploit is manually tested to guarantee that the supported system, the application, it's reliable in that context. We have a growing number of exploits. We cannot perform daily tests like regression tests, smoke tests. We were just 3 guys. And we have a small lab and a small company. We don't have budget. We cannot buy hardware, anything like that. It was Argentina. We were in a very bad time, like 5 presidents in 1 week. Change. Money change, we have $1, 1 peso, then we don't. So hardware was out of question, people was out of question. We tried to survive in that time. it was not 3 years ago, but we're still in the wave of that kind of problem. So we need automatic testing just to make sure the product was reliable. And by automatic testing, we try to include smoke test, regression test, and what we call thaw test, and to test the product daily. Smoke test. By smoke test, we try to find gross errors, big errors, like misplaced files. Maybe someone forgot to commit into the CVH. It's right here. Okay. CVH, just in case I say it wrong. Typos in code. The product is code in Python language, which is a scripting language. So until you reach the specific line, you are not going to find some kind of error. Cephal and self are very common, or were very common. When you are doing a smoke test, it is very quick, very fast, very simple. If it passes, you can go on with the rest of the test. If not, you just abort the operation because the error is just too big to keep going on. Regression test. It's a little more subtle. Tries to make sure that what worked yesterday, it's still working today. It has to do mainly with small changes to core libraries. Maybe someone do a Cephal, or not Cephal, it was being caught by the smoke test, but you are trying different things, maybe a for loop, something that is hanging, whatever. And you need to catch it as fast as you can to catch it. So, that. And thorough test everything single exploit with every default parameter combination. Exploits in impact has a lot of parameters and values. You need to make sure that all those values combined are working all right, are working fine. So we have some constraints when we start to do the tools, our automatic tools. Every mode in impact is Python code, as I said, except for the GUI. Oh, GUI, graphical user interface. I don't know GUI. Had to be done within 24 hours because of the risk of propagation error. If you don't catch the error in 24 hours, something like that, you have the risk of letting the error there and working on top of that kind of error. Maybe in 1 week, you have a lot of code busted on a single error, and when you fix it, you broke the rest of the code. So developers need to see the errors as fast as they can. By low-budget hardware, we mean very low-budget hardware. It's not the hardware I saw in the expo here. We are talking about maybe $500 hardware or less. And it was the hardware we had at that time. We don't have the money to buy new hardware. So that were the constraints. There was a first milestone, which was to make 10 automated tests just to see what we come up with. And the hardware. That was the first hardware we had. It was old at that time. It was my previous PC. When it got too old, we put it away. We trashed it. And when we need it, we just look in the trash can and bring up the PC again, and we just borrow some hard drives, some memory from guys who don't need them. No one needs two hard drives or memory, so we just go at the night taking pieces and making a big PC. The proof of concept has to be must run inside Core Impact. It's like any other module. It is run inside the same test. It is run inside the same application it is testing. We found that we don't have an API from Python to work with VMware. So the first thing we did was to wrap it using Win32 API extensions. I don't know if you know Python, but they are made so you can use com and wrap it. Sorry. The first proof of concept ran fairly well. We had a little bit of code, a little bit of piece of code to play, stop, check the status and all that things from Python and from the model. That's the very first beginning of all this. And we had a new milestone, which were 18 thorough tests. I'm going to tell you the thorough test. 18 is a very strange number, but some guy came to me and said, okay, this 18, they must be run every day. So that guy was Kelsha, it's the name, so this was the Kelsha milestone. And what is a thorough test for us? In our context, is to test all available platforms a module can attach, for example, Windows, several service packs of one Windows, Windows XP 2000 or 2K, and several applications inside that specific platform. So we need to check the exploit against all the platforms using all the parameters it supports, which like a minimum, it could be 3 connection methods. When you deploy an exploit, you can tell it, connect to the target, make the target connect to you, that is coming from, or reuse the recently used connection. This is to bypass firewalls or other devices. So, we have, like a minimal test, just one platform, just one application, and just one parameter. That is a theoretical minimum, and it's never used. Something a little bit more typical was to use like 2 platforms. In fact, they are usually like 4 or 5 against one application using the 3 connection parameter, which in this case are 6 runs, 3 by 2. This will be more like a minimal test. In fact, we have many more parameters or more applications, so we have many more combinations. And that was basically the problem. We have so many exploits, so many combinations and applications. We needed VMware to start the image, run the exploit, and keep going on. So our 18 test goals, it was like 16 runs. Every run is one combination of parameters. And we needed a little bit of support. The first milestone was achieved, but it was pretty much hard-coded. Everything was just working okay there. So, we need this kind of information. We have a lot of, we have like 15 or 60 images at that time. We need to know which platform they have, every image, which platform it was, which application it has installed, where the image was, so we could take the exploit, ask the exploit, which platform do you attack? I'm attacking this one. Okay, we are going to search for this application, this platform, bring it up, and make it, and make the attack. We use XML as a repository for our information, which was standard, it was easy, it was text, well, anyone know XML. It was very quick and flexible for development. We can make small changes or big changes in certain parts of the data, look for it, see what it did. Keep going on. If the result was good, we just let the new kind of format, the new element, the new attributes. If not, we just go back. This is smaller than I thought. Don't forget something. We were 3 guys at that time. We were development in the tank we were not doing manual testing. So it was switching back and forward from manual test, which was our real job, and playing with this. So we have very small time spans for working on this. So everything that could be tested quickly, it was good. That's the exciting thing. It's so small, but we have the hierarchy of OS, family, Windows 2000. It has an architecture of i386. We don't know the build. The edition is an advanced server. And a lot of information that was used by the exploit. The exploit themselves has like information about I can exploit Windows 2000 Service Pack 3 with this kind of build. And we have here the application, the install application of that particular image, the version of the application, the path to the application, and the booting time. We have some problems with that. That's just to show you a little bit of our data. This is information about the parameters used by one exploit. We have, which is IE create text French exploit. For example, well, this is using just connect from target, but you can put here connect from target pipe, connect to target pipe, reuse connection. And it is going to make combinations to perform the three tests. You can here, for example, you have a web server with port 80. Maybe you have, you can put a pipe port 25 and you have then more combinations. We have lots of combinations. So the first problem we found. Exploits need a target IP. That's a constraint of the exploits. They need it to be able to exploit the target. For some reason, we can't remember why. We cannot have fixed IP addresses. They have to be dynamically assigned. It was very old. I can't remember why, but it was a problem. What we do was to use VM tools to receive the IPs for the images, except for this platform and some other ones that have no support from VM tools. So we did a little RARP, reverse address request protocol. You know something about that a little bit. We had the MAC of the image, and we say, hello, we have this MAC, whom we need the IP. And we made a script. It's the reverse of address request protocol, in which you have an IP and you request the physical hardware address of the device, the network device. Any question about that, maybe? No, okay. We solve it that way. We use a VM tool for the supported images on this little script from the unsupported ones. And in the XML, we add the MAC element. That was the flexible thing I was talking about. We can add things when we found the problems. So mutual exclusion between testers and the automatic testing tool. We have just one CSX, which was shared between the automatic tool and the tester. And by design, the automatic tool shuts down the image after the test. Because you make a test. Maybe the memory has garbage. It's in an unstable state. So you need to restart it to go to the next test. To go to the next test. And maybe you have one guy doing his manual testing and the testing tool passes startup. It was started up, okay, it's okay. And now I shut it down. So the tester was not very happy. They were very quick to tell me that. And we did a little, I think, locking mechanism. We didn't start up the image if it was used by a human tester. You can know when an image is up. It's a part of the API. And we ask, is the image up? Yes, okay. It was started by us or one of our instances. I'm talking about the automatic tool. If it was, then we just reference counting the image. We tell, okay, there is another one using it. We keep going with the test. When you stop the test, when you finish the test, you decrease the counting reference, and if it reaches zero, you power off the image. It's very simple. It's a workaround, much more than a mechanism. But that lets this way we could use the testing tool and the tester all in the same place. Performance. We have to add one-shot exploits. One-shot exploits are a particular kind of exploit that if it succeeds or not, you cannot use the image again. You just can't. We have some of this kind of exploits. That makes us to restart more often the image. The other kind of exploit, you can maybe reuse the image. You can just run, and then power off. It's okay. They work all right. This one, not. So at that time, power on and off was like 85 of the time used for testing, maybe more. So basically, we were all the time just powering on and powering off the images. And we run out of memory. We have just 3 or 4 images at the same time, maximum, if they were like Linux or BCD boxes. Windows are just eating so much memory. And we were having more QA testers. We were not just 3 guys, we were like 5, all using the same CSX. So, anyway, in that condition, it was considered very nice. It was considered promising. We got to the milestone. We start planning for the second stage, which needs to include 16 exploits. All must be included and execute daily. And we name the tool ITESU, which stands for Impact Test Suite, which in fact I was learning Japanese in that time. It sounds pretty nice, but okay. So that's ITESU. We are the testers, and we were using just one image, just to make the point. That's the way we end the first stage. Now, we are like 1 or 2 years ahead on time. We have more money, and we bought some super hardware. We bought two new machines. One was used to manual test, and the other one was, and the other one was for the automatic test. So we solved the mutual exclusion problem by making it go away. It was not a solution. But we were happy, each other in his own box. That led to new problems, which were image desynchronization and hard disk drive space shortage. We have this. Everyone with his own box. The problems about desynchronization. We started with both CSH as extra copies. But as time goes by, every team was making little difference, like changing some ports or starting a new application, eventually starting a new image. We got two different. Eventually, we got two different boxes. It made us impossible to switch from one CSX to the other one. We had hard-coded paths. We lost information, we lost status, which was not good. There was a lot of people just in one place, everyone making her own changes. And shortage. Because of the automatic test worked very well, the TM QA team had more people, we had more exploits, the product was being pretty much successful, we have more clients, we need more exploits, more everything, we need more images. We were being very fast, pretty fast. More combination, more testing, and that led to the death of the hard disk drive. We have not more space, temporal space growth, and it was really a problem. We have from time to time crashes or the CCX hanging up and temporal space being wasted. So the solution was to clean up the images, make it synchronized again, removing images, making one guy in charge of all the changes, and we split the system. We take all the images, make just like one big group, and put 50% in each one of the CSX, and they were shared by NFS. So there is just one copy of each image. It cannot be desynchronized. You just can't. Each hard disk drive is split and it has more space. But when one CSX goes down, you lost 50% of the images. And that was not strange. CSX were down often. The hardware was very small, was very cheap, were desktop hardware. That's the idea. We have 50% in every CSX shared by NFS. So it didn't last, of course. Eventually, we have more and more and more images. Temporal space has gone out again. We often have problems with CSX. So it didn't work, not for much time. The solution was to acquire more hardware. It was just one machine with a lot of space. Not for us, not like the monsters I saw in the export. It was, we had hardware support for RAID, RAID. And since that problem, since that time, we have not more space problem yet. And you know that phrase? I'm sure we are going to run out of space very soon, sometime. But anyway, I hope we have the money to buy more space. So this is the infrastructure of the second stage. We have one file storage. It is shared between the CSX, and it's working fine. So we have a lot of space, and it was a problem with because we have more and more images, and when management see more room to put things, they just put things. We had like 60 modules, which were like more than 200 runs every day, but we had the problem of the 80% or 90% of the time in the booting time. So we were in 8 time hours from testing, and making a little bit of some numbers, we are going to go past beyond the 24 hours constraint. Sorry. And the product itself is being more complex. We have more kind of exploits. And that's the problem we have. So what we did was to go to a CSX 3.2. We start using snapshots. We got support for SOFAR and support platforms and improved performance. That was the, they told me, we are going to have snapshots, cutting down the time. We are going to have support for this platform. We are going to have a better performance. It was the solution to our price, or not, because they don't tell me everything. We could use snapshots from the API. we didn't find anything like that. We cannot use a snapshot. The migration was done in a day or so. It was configured in a particular way in which snapshot restart themselves. So as soon as we power on the image, it just start up again. I didn't need it. So we have a lot of images start up. We cannot hard power off. We used to hard power off the images, so to cut down power off time. As soon as we hard power off, we started breaking the operating systems. It's like changes were being committed, so it was a mess. This was a real problem. We found it the first day we finished with the migration. So we need somehow to use the snapshots. We sniff with using ETL, TCP dump, or some kind of dump packet tool. Because the console was working okay, you can't use the snapshots through the console. So we sniff it and try to figure out what was going on, if there was some kind of undocumented command or something like that. We find a sequence of commands which basically did this. Being in a state of power on, shut down. It powered off, but starts to restarting, to go into the startup. It has the automatic power on. So wait for the power off. In that state, wait for the power on. We were just looking for it, checking its status. And as soon as you power on, just suspend. And it make it work. It is a little bit fragile, maybe, but it works. It really works so far. So we have our snapshot. We are happy with the snapshot. This is a little piece of the sniffing. I remember I knew everything. All of this I understand at that time. I can't remember that now. But it is restoring the virtual machine. This was the image. And as soon as it's poured on, just suspend it. That's the dump of the session. Okay. So this is almost the end. We went from just before the use of snapshots, we are approaching the 24 hours. Now we are in 7 hours. This is a little bit old, even if the presentation is new. We have no more than 200 and something images, like 180 exploits, more than 700 total runs, and it was cut down to 7 hours. I don't know. That's the end. I hope you are awake.
So your exploit, there was no issue that you addressed?
I'm sorry, again.
How do you define an exploit?
I really... Do you mind if I can move. sorry.
What's your definition of an exploit?
Oh, an exploit. Mine or the real one? No. You have a vulnerable system, and the exploit is a little piece of code that you inject on the target application in that vulnerable application. It usually is made of assembler code, and you make it, you inject it. The application is running. You inject the exploit. And when it tries to go back to its normal flow, it is redirected to your piece of code, to your own piece of code. So usually exploits have a little payload telling, wait, open a port, install a shell script, something like that, listen for new connections, and then from that point on, we have like a little server on the target, on the attacked platform. Is that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so then as you're testing through, you would add exploits to what you tested?
Yes.
And found them out?
All the time. Yes, the problem was this, the 700 exploits running every day. They are like 200 combinations of operating systems and applications. We need to be sure that they work the way we say, we sell. We are telling you, if you run this exploit, it's okay, it's not going to crash your machine. You are going to take control, but it's not going to crash your machine. But if you believe in us and it crashes your machine, that's very bad for us. So we make sure it don't, or maybe at least we can tell you 50% of the time, half of the time, it crashes your machine. Except you, it's code that it was not intended to be there. You are really modifying the application. So you are not sure. Maybe the environment is a little bit different. You have lots of environments in which the application is being run. So we have a listing of supported platforms, and these are not theoretical platforms. These are the ones we test every day. That's the idea, at least.
So would you consider then the exploit as part of the regression testing?
Yes. All the day we test almost like 90% of the exploit. We have some kind of exploit called brute force, which try, and maybe they take one day trying. We need to perform 700 tests, not one. So brute force are made like every 15 days, something like that. So there is some time when you are not sure if you broke something there. But it's not in the final product. We are talking about the we are talking about the daily build. Every day, developers are making changes, working, and at the end of the day, we take what there is, we pull it from the CBIs, the repository files. Sorry, we take it, we install it, and we try it every day. So. Maybe some of the programmers make some change. It has happened. Come to the morning and say, oh, I broke everything because of some small change. There are simple and subtle changes in the core library which make everything fail. For example, I don't know, Samba. Summit, one of the guys modified the Samba code, and all the exploits which were using Samba code just gone wild. But he saw that the next morning. I said, oh, why? Oh, okay, that's why. And the other day it was gone. So it makes us, you can fix very quickly that kind of problem. That's the idea, the whole idea of our testing tool. GSX.
What's the maximum number of images you run on the server?
Okay, which is the maximum number of images being run on the server?
At any point of time.
No, the automatic, well, right now we just test one image at a time. It's not parallel. It's not being run in parallel. Sorry, it's not the word, but the word I can say. But at the same time, we have the manual testers. Maybe they are using 4 or 5 images at that time.
Why? Because the images are all loaded.
Sorry?
I'm sorry. The images are all loaded in memory at the same time.
Yes. Yes. Like most, or our top, five images. We don't need more images. And besides, we use the images for 2 minutes, 3 minutes. We start it, use it, and power off. It's the time you need to make the test. It's very small. So it's very quick, it's very small. If we can make it in parallel, we are obviously cutting down time. Manual tester, on the other hand, use the images for hours, because we are talking about regression tests and all that kind of things with the automatic tool, but the initial testing is done manually. We cannot trust in an automatic tool to perform the initial test. Maybe a programmer is working on a new exploit. They say, okay, it's green or gold. I don't know how you say it. It is sent to QA. We took it, we test it with support platform. We look it manually. We analyze the response, everything. It maybe took a week to test one exploit manually. After it is marked as okay, all right, it's working. You make it into the regression testing, and you just make sure it's still working every day. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay.
Your development organization, do they depend on VMware for their own development
in the US? Also for development. Development team has their own, they now have an ESX. They just, it's brand new. It's pretty nice. We are going to go to ESX. QA is going to go to ESX in the future. We don't have the time right now. But this is for like 70%, 80% of the supported platforms. We also have expert for Solaris. Solaris, do you? Thank you. AIX, Macintosh, Mac, OSX, which, as far as I know, they are not yet virtualized by VMware. I'm not sure. I didn't hear that here at least. So we have some few physical machines, which are another kind of problem. We cannot shut down and start again. We have a lot of problems with that. The physical ones.
There's actually a product that would let you run Solaris or Solaris on top of the virtual machine. Oh, Quick Transit.
It's Quick Transit. Quick too?
So there's a product.
Sorry.
You can take your Solaris 8 or 9.
Yes.
It's running on Spark and migrate it to Rock in VMware on x86. There's a product that adds the translation layer between the
Spark
client code and the.
Oh, okay. No, you have a specific code for each.
Yeah,
for each platform.
There's a program you can buy that will do that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Xprint code is very handcrafted. It's that code. It's very. It's made by experts. It's not very translated or automatic. It's not automatic. The development of the Excel code is very handcrafted, I guess is the word. Okay. It's very complex. Systems have become very, very secure. You just don't find some stupid bugs like 5 years ago. Like you just sit down on your keyboard, press a lot of A's and blow up something. It happened in the Windows login. It was very nice. Nowadays, they are very complex. You have a lot of IDS, firewalls. It has to be handcrafted. We cannot use, or usually there are not used automatic tools or something like that for the development of the exploit. Wait, I'm almost there.
Were you the one who introduced virtualization VMware to your company? And also, if you were, what were the big challenges you faced in that?
For the virtualization of the company.
Did you bring VMware to your company?
Yes, we are using it.
And then what were the challenges you had within your company to get them to use it?
To make them use it? To convince them to use it?
To get your
convention, there is no problem. They just saw we needed this is this solution. It's maybe it's a particular company by listening other guys here. Most of the time we don't need to convince the upper management. The upper management is very technical. Maybe more than the rest of us. They have very deep knowledge of a lot of technical things. They are not just businessmen or something like that. So maybe they come to us and say, hey, you're not using ESX, why? I don't know, we don't have the money. Okay, you have. No, we are not in that time. No, we have more money. One ESX was just already bought. We are going to acquire a new one for QA. So it's good that we don't have that kind of argument, like trying to convince, we need this. Okay. No, let me convince you. No, it's okay. We won't. Just buy it. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. Something else, something.
Do you ever have two VMs with the same images at the same time? And how do you handle the name conflict?
Oh, naming programs? Like.
So like if you have your, if your automated program brings up a VM, I'm assuming you share the VM.
You can't have two VMs running off the same image unless.
Well, he's got two GSX. So you can only have, you're basically doing a library checking out the
VM. Let me see if I understand. If we have two VMs at the same time working.
Two VMs pointing to the same image at the same time.
Well, in the same
room,
the same host name.
Okay, everyone understand the question but me. Two images at the same time in two CSX.
Yeah.
We're working with two physically different CSX. Okay. No, like for in case of a collision or something like that.
It's not possible because VMware will write a block file in the image directory.
It was actually just a presentation on the OpenVMDK platform, and the guy was saying there is a workaround to that.
Well, it's possible if your operating system is aware of the. If your operating system.
In my case.
If developers have a VM open and something running, your automated test can't run against that platform or that.
No, we're doing that. We were talking with, I guess I understand the question. Because we have just one image being used by two CSX. We can do that. They touch something, I take your email and I put in contact with them. I work with the software, the guys do the magic of making everything work, but I can remember something they told me about redo files, locking mechanisms. I can't tell you, I'm going to lie to you, but I know they were touching, the problem was, we can use just one snapshot, okay? We can use snapshots from just one CSX, not the other one. Because of the sharing, but we can start the same image at the same time in two different CSX. There are some limitations from constraints. I can't remember right now. One is you can just have one snapshot. It has something to do with locking mechanisms and the MSS and something they touch in the file system, like this. It's read-only. So when CSX tries to write something, it just can't. But it's not failing. Please give me your email and I put him in contact with the guy. Anything else? Okay, you can take a nap. It's there, comfy. Okay, thank you.